Well, when you went up to Passchendaele, sir, I gather that the 10th were the very last unit involved in the whole
one of them going
Passchendaele campaign. The 7th and the... The 7th and the 8th Battalion went forward that morning.
No, where's that St. St. Paul, is it? No.
There's the Machilly Crossroads, which was out in that that area.
There was a point that where we went...
Well, here, Vindictive Crossroads, was that it?
No. St. Paul, no, not St. Paul. There was a point on the way up that we was at where we were... congregated, the whole brigade congregating there, and we had a review by Corps Commander General Curry.
Yes. Well, this is well back, I think.
Yeah, could it be St. Paul, P-O-L?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And there we had a review by General Curry. Before we went, he told us what a fine body of men we were and all the rest of it. And he had volunteered to take Passchendaele for the his superiors. He had volunteered to do that. I think the truth was only known he was told to do it.
Yeah.
And from there we went up in the Wilshire camp, which was just nothing but tents. That was on the way up. We stayed there a couple of 3 days, then moved out overnight, right through the city of Ypres, right up into a place which I believe was St. Julian. However, there was nothing there but shell holes. Laid there overnight, I was buried there that night, as a matter of fact, up to my neck in mud and sand and chalk. We had nothing to do but do the best we could to get out of sight and keep ourselves as protected, well, protected as we could. So we cleaned out what was in a crater or a shell hole, dug a little bit of a ledge all around it so we could sit down, found some old galvanized iron laying around, sheets, you know, the sheets of galvanized metal, made a roof out of it, and then we established ourselves up for the night, and we stayed there the whole day and moved up to Passchendaele the second night. Well, rather fortunate coming out of that, as a matter of fact, because a dud shell from the enemy came over and dropped in the crater behind us, or which would be in the forward of us. And in dropping in, it did not explode, but however, it did disturb the earth between the two craters, and we got all the water that was in the other one. And the whole thing caved in. There was two or three of us buried to our neck. Mm. And one way of a time getting out of that, but we got out. Went forward up there over the old duck walks. We could see a plank road that had been built of nothing else but planks, which I would think would be about 3x12s or 4x12s. And the guns and that like were moving up there, and particularly the ammunition. But we had nothing else to do but just walk the little duck walk, which was like a little plank side of a lumber sidewalk, about 2 feet wide and probably 8 feet long in sections. Every once in a while we'd come to one. I came to one of them that wasn't there and stepped off of it. I had a Lewis gun on my back. Now, we had been told keep 2 paces apart in our walking. If it was convenient, of course, we were able to do it, but on account of the shelling, you know. But I happened to fall off with my gun. Young officer was behind me and he started to try and drag me out. There's another little incident there that you never forget. The officer trying to pull me out created an obstruction. The men were bunching up. Some kind friend at the back. I won't use his expression, but he did say, leave the son of a gun there. That's what he should have said, if he was going to be polite. Better lose one man than a dozen. But they dragged me out anyway. And we carried on up into there, up into Passchendaele. Another little unfortunate thing about that was we got up in there quite late in the evening. We were told to dig in. It was a case of every man for himself. The gunfire was so heavy. I think our battalion headquarters was in a big German pillbox, one of these concrete creations. If my memory serves me correctly, well, I may be wrong here, but we lost our regimental sergeant major that night due to the fact that a shell exploded just about in front of the door of headquarters. And I think his name was Thatcher. They hammered the daylights out of us all night long. We were trying to dig as fast as we pulled, dug one shovelful of mud out, two rolled in. But we did eventually establish ourselves, and then just about daybreak, we got the word, sorry, man, he says, you're in the wrong place, advance 200 yards. We advanced the 200 yards, losing quite a few men. We were able then to dig a nice trench in straight gravel. Got out of the mud for a little while, a little higher, I guess.
Well, yes, you were on the peak of the ridge, I guess.
Yeah,
there.
A little higher there. Now you had a full view, early morning you had a full view of everything. You can see our own planes, just these little moths, I suppose you'd call them. In those days, going backwards and forwards, and the enemy, of course, he was doing the same thing, coming along machine gunning us to the best of his ability. I can remember another little incident there. Looking through, there was a stretcher party went across in front of us in the German lines, carrying the sign of distress, the Red Cross flag, you know, showing a stretcher party. In common decency, if you want to call it that, or common custom, whichever you want to use, it was to respect them and let them carry on, take their wounded away. So our men naturally popped their heads up to see what was going on, and some of them come down in a great big hurry. There was a machine gun on the stretcher, not a body. So you know what happened.
Yeah, well, this happens every once in a while.
Yeah. Those of our men that could promptly responded, and the stretcher dropped to the ground. I was in there for 24 hours only in that trench. We were told that we had relieved the Australians, but we never saw an Australian, we never saw anybody else. It was an empty trench when we got to it. And it was empty when we came out. Stepped out the back of the trench and walked straight back.
Well, you went forward that morning, did you not, on the town?
We did not. Not our section.
I see.
Not our section, no.
But parts of the battalion.
They may have done, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. They may have put another company in. They may have done anything. We don't know who, at least.
Well, the general story for most people is that you went through the 7th and 8th battalions at some point on the 10th and took over the front.
It's quite possible some of
them.
Quite possible that some of them did.
And that you were very, very heavily shelled in the process.
Yes. Well, we were very heavily shelled before we established in that one trench. We were trying to dig in all you could. We were told every man for himself. The officers alike were all digging. That was the first night we went in, or the night that I went in with them. And see them dropping like flies all around us. However, we was in there for 24 hours and they pulled our company out. That's all I know.